comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I know there are a million other places you could be, but you're here, and I appreciate that. We are here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. Quick reminder for everyone, I will be at the Alchemy 2011 event out in Los Angeles. I'll be speaking out there. It's going to happen on 11-11-11 through the 13th. So November the 11th through the 13th is the Alchemy event. And, boy, I'll tell you what, they have a fantastic lineup of speakers, top names in our genre from all around the world. And it's going to be very, very exciting. In fact, I think probably the largest event of its kind in this decade. It will be hard to top this, but it's going to be November the 11th through the 13th, and I'd like to invite you to come out and be a part of that, experience that, because you'll get to meet some of these great folks. We've had most of them as guests on the show. You'll get to meet them, talk to them, hear them speak. And then on Sunday, the 13th, I'll be speaking, and following that, a meet-and-greet lunch. So I'd love to meet you personally. I'm quite serious about that. I want you to come right up and introduce yourself, and let's talk, let's chat, let's meet. November the 13th, Los Angeles. The way to get your tickets for that, to register for that, is to go to alchemyevent.com, alchemyevent.com, and register. If you are within travel distance to Los Angeles, you need to come be a part of that, and let's enjoy the event together. Quick reminder, too, about our K-Files. K-Files is our free weekly newsletter. And when we say free, we're not talking about Washington, D.C. style free, you know, where they tell you something is free, but it's got all those strings attached. Not here. When we say free, we just mean free. No strings attached. And you can subscribe right now, if you never have, now is the time. Even if you have and you quit and now you want to come back, great. We're glad to have you back. Go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Right in the middle of your screen, you'll see in big letters it says K-Files. Click that and subscribe. You're going to get an email immediately that has a link in it that you have to use to activate your subscription. Be sure you do that, and then you'll start getting the K-Files. Also, a quick reminder about our members community. The first 7 days are free, and then after that, it's $7.50 a month. That comes out to a whopping 25 cents per day. And for that whopping 25 cents per day, you get a boatload of great stuff, great features. Not the least of which is you get to watch the show live every night. But you also get our archives. And you get a lot of other stuff, too. Lots and lots. Check that out, all right? And take care of that tonight so you can be part of the informed. We'll be back with my guest, Stephen Bassett, right after this. All right. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And my guest this evening, Mr. Stephen Bassett. Now, he has been with us on a number of occasions before. It's always a pleasure to have him with us. And especially when he has something that is rocking and rolling as he does now. So, Stephen Bassett, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted you're here.
Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be with you.
Stephen, you've been, I know all of our regular audience, people that listen every night, they know you, and people that listen to other shows in this genre, they know you. But we always do have new listeners who are brand new to this whole genre every night. So let me just give them a clue about who you are. You've been for a number of years now representing UFO groups, UFO causes, as a lobbyist in Washington, D.C., as a registered lobbyist representing UFO causes. And I may not be using the correct terminology, but I think people understand what we're talking about. And you've been trying to get, you've had a number of things where you projects where you have really worked on and tried to get the U.S. government to stop the truth embargo about UFOs and extraterrestrials. And there have been a couple of times where it looks like it came real close and then something weird would happen in the world and it would all get put on the back burner. You've got a project going right now that is, as I said, rocking and rolling, and I want us to talk about that a little bit. Tell us what it is.
Well, the way to look at this movement that we're involved in, this disclosure movement, it's like a balance scale with two plates. On one side is the truth embargo, the government policy to withhold acknowledgement of the ET presence from the people for various reasons that they've had over the years. On the other side is the disclosure movement, which is working to end that policy. It's the movement is made up of many things. There's many things going on. And every year we try to add a little bit more to that scale. And each project adds a little extra weight to the truth embargoes, disclosure movement side. And the idea is to finally put enough weight on the scale that it trips it. So the current project is just one of many things that is adding weight on the disclosure side of this scale, trying to end the truth embargo. And it's the petition going on at the White House website. There are many petitions on the Internet now. The Internet lends itself to petitions, which is fine. In the old days, you went out and gathered lots of signatures. Well, you still do this with respect to elections and getting certified to get initiatives on the ballot. You have to get written signatures. You have to go out in the street. You turn in thousands of them in pieces of paper, and they are, quote, checked over. But in terms of just advocacy on the net, there are petitions all over the place. For instance, there are several petitions that MoveOn.org have got going. One, I think, has 490,000 signatures. But what do you do with them? I mean, all right, you've got the signatures. I guess you could contact the agency involved and say, we have all these signatures on the Internet, and send them a screenshot or print it out even. But there are a lot of, and there's petition sites devoted to nothing but petitions. And so it's actually gotten almost too easy to do them, particularly on the Internet. All right, fine. So their value is somewhat being diminished, though it's a nice process and it's worth doing. This is different. The White House made the decision back in September or August that they were going to bring the petition process to the White House website itself. And they were going to encourage American citizens and organizations to put petitions up on the White House site and then go out and try to get as many signatures as possible. They also indicated that if a certain number of signatures were achieved, the White House would commit to respond to that petition in a formal way from the appropriate entity within the administration, appropriate agency, depending upon the issue. So this is a different matter. The petition signatures and the petitions don't reside on some advocacy website somewhere or some petition site out in cyberspace. It resides on the White House website, which is a server that gets tens of millions of hits a month and is seen by people all over the world. They come to that site to see what's going on. And so when this was announced, PRG immediately understood that the disclosure issue must be represented. And as soon as it went active, PRG put up a disclosure petition and started trying to develop signatures for it, promoting.
Okay, let's explain to all of our new listeners. PRG, that's the initials of Paradigm Research Group, which Stephen Bassett heads.
That's the organization founded in 97. It's a political advocacy organization. It has one goal, and that is to end the truth embargo and get formal acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence by world governments. That's what it does. That's its chief goal. So we got a petition up right away. And it's the disclosure petition, and it goes as follows. We, the undersigned, strongly urge the President of the United States to formally acknowledge an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race and immediately release into the public domain all files from government agencies and military services. It's as simple and as straightforward as it could be. Under the initial rules, we had to get 5,000 signatures within 30 days in order to get a formal response from the administration. Pretty generous, frankly. We achieved that in 4 days. Currently, there's about 10,200 signatures. Now, what's interesting here is that, as I pointed out, aggressive advocacy groups like MoveOn.org are able to generate off their email lists, because they have huge email lists that they've spent millions of dollars building, petitions with huge numbers of signatures, like 400,000. So what does 10,000 signatures mean? It's a good point. Here's the way to look at it. The White House essentially is where the petitions reside, and the White House is not overly promoting this. It is right there on the top of the website. There have been some news articles about it, but they haven't exactly gone overboard here. One mention from the president in a news conference or in a press conference would probably increase by several magnitudes the amount of participation, but they're kind of taking it slow. And so it has not that many people know that there even is a petition process going on up on the White House website. About 200 petitions have been submitted, and they're getting signatures, but not spectacular yet. A number of organizations that you would think would have put a petition up there haven't done so. And so we're kind of in the early days of a developing process. So given that constraint, what's important is the disclosure petition is holding up well with respect to the other petitions that are up there. It's the 20th out of 200 petitions in terms of number of signatures. It's the number one foreign policy issue. It's the number one science and technology issue. And it's being seen by a lot of people, because a lot of people do go to that site, and they're getting a look at it. And it's attracted some media. It's gotten a number of articles, including two in the Huffington Post. And I'm happy to say that an article about this petition, the disclosure petition, will be in the Wall Street Journal tomorrow. Hmm. So all that's good. I mean, it's raising awareness. It's putting the issue on the White House website. And, of course, it's assured a response from the administration. This is one more weight, not a huge weight, placed on the balance scale in favor of disclosure. Now, the fact is, though, this thing could get much bigger because the response from the White House is important, but the signature count is important, too. And so PRG is doing everything it can to raise awareness to this petition and to the process in general that's going on up there to see if we can really build a sizable number of signatures. I mean, the number of people that are interested in this subject in the United States is in the tens and tens of millions. The number of people that believe that UFOs are, in fact, ET in origin are tens of millions. The number of people that believe the government's not telling the truth is 80% of the population. And so I believe that if enough people know that this is up there, that they will go and they'll sign this. And if they do, we'll build a big number. That's going to draw more media. More media draws a bigger number. The only wild card here is we don't know if the petitions that have achieved their minimum requirement for response are going to be taken down at the end of that 30 days or allowed to stay up and garnish more support. That still is up in the air. I actually have a petition that will be listed up there soon which calls for the administration to keep these petitions up for an extended time so people have a chance to learn about them, learn about the White House initiative, and register and sign their support to these things. So we'll see about that. But so far it's been a success. It's garnishing media. It should get more media. It has a respectable number of signatures. And so the disclosure issue is properly represented on the White House website today.
Let's say that this petition stays up there. Let's say we get 100,000, 200,000 signatures on this petition. Mm-hmm. What's your gut feeling about the chances that it's going to have the desired effect and that we will get disclosure out of this?
Well, first of all, it's already had the desired effect. It's added another component to the disclosure movement. It's attracted attention. That's what it was designed to do. In no way was it expected that this petition would trigger disclosure. Not going to happen. But it's achieved its fundamental goal. Now, how many signatures would it take for it to, though, have another level or degree of impact? Well, the number one petition on the website, White House website now, that's whitehouse.gov, by the way, where you can go and see the petition, register, get a password, sign in, sign the petition, whitehouse.gov, very simple. The number one is a marijuana reform petition. Now, there's 13 of the 200 positions, 13 petitions on the White House site right now deal with reform of the marijuana laws. This is not surprising. There's a huge interest in that. It's a significant issue, and the administration has basically been dodging it. And the number one petition overall is about 56,000 signatures. If the disclosure petition could go viral, and we're trying, I mean, we're pounding Facebook, YouTube, MySpace, Twitter. We're doing everything we can to get the link spread around. And if it were to get even in that range of 50,000, that would be a significant thing, and it would attract a lot of media. If it attracts any media, then the number would go higher. And so that's a pretty good target, 50,000. But that's going to be tough without, you know, some significant interest on the Internet by people that actually want to take the time to do this. It takes a couple minutes, right? Anything in the big range of 100,000 or more, that's an international story. I mean, that would be an international news story. That would go around the world. And that would be a good thing. It would help to draw more attention. One of the things I love the most about this, Kevin, is that this petition, again, is not sitting off somewhere on some advocacy group's website. It's sitting on the White House website, which has people coming in by the tens of millions every month. And so it's open. Anybody can go find it quite easily. And this is true for other nations. It's true for other national leaders. It's true for the military intelligence community, intelligence agents, people operating in black programs that are dealing with extraterrestrial issue, perhaps. They have a computer. They can go to the White House website and see it. And so we've kind of sent a little message out, not just to the administration, but to everybody that goes to that site and bothers to check those petitions, that we're here, that the issue continues to move on, that it's real, that it's substantial, and there are lots of people that believe that. So this is a wonderful way to speak to a much larger audience. It costs nothing. It costs nothing for me to put it up. It costs nothing for anybody to sign it. And so it's a win-win-win as far as I'm concerned. The only thing that's really missing now would be a nice chunk of signatures. And if people will get up there, I have the actual link. The short link is in many places, including disclosurepetition.info, which is an information site I have about this, where you can get banners and see the media coverage and all that. Or you just Google disclosure petition. I think it's the second link. And it's wh.gov/K G C. And this is the link we're spreading around, the short link to this petition, the direct link to it. But you can also get to it pretty easily by going to whitehouse.gov. So that's the game plan. If we see big signature numbers, we'll see more media, and it will have more impact. It's that simple.
How big an impact would it have if enough signatures hit that petition that you got invited onto The Daily Show?
Well, that's you know, the game plan. I mean, look, if you're in the advocacy business, you're in the media business. All those people that are occupying cities all over the world right now are out there, not just because they need to hang out outside for a while. They're trying to draw media attention. They're trying to draw stories, which is exactly what's happened. And these people are out there because they know they've been scammed, they've been lied to, they've been manipulated, and there's a lot going on which is not appropriate. And guess what? I mean, the ET truth embargo is exactly that. Now, they're not going to protest that. They're not going to be talking about that because the truth embargo makes it extremely difficult for people to step up and speak to that issue. But whether they know it or not, that issue is right in the crosshairs of their concerns. So the idea is to get media. So the game plan is to build the signatures, get news articles like the Huffington Post, tomorrow Wall Street Journal, and possibly then get pulled into a show like The Daily Show, which has a huge, large audience, a young audience that really, really needs to know about this stuff, or Colbert, or any other of the network news, and then get the message out. By and large, I have yet to see anybody on any of the network news shows, and they're doing all this protest coverage right now, that has talked about this petition process on the White House website or having a petition up there. Not a single person, and it's been out for approximately 25 days. Now, eventually there's going to be somebody. It'll probably be one of the marijuana advocates. But I'll tell you, if anybody, me or anybody else, were to go on The Daily Show and talk about the fact that these petitions are up there, I guarantee you they'd all start getting a lot of signatures very quickly. Because when you sign up, you can sign all the petitions you want. So if there's 80 issues you like, you can sign 80 petitions. So that's going to happen. My only concern, as I said before, is that they will yank the, since we've met the criteria for a response, which, by the way, is now 25,000. They raised it to 25,000. Didn't affect the disclosure petition, which is a mistake. They should have only raised it to 10. So they may have to make a change there because they virtually cut the process off for now. Very few organizations can generate those kind of signatures. Certainly private individuals, very difficult. 10,000 would be okay. But my concern is that since we met the criteria, they'll pull it down after 30 days so that people don't have anything to sign now. We get our response, but we don't get to see the signature count. What I will do then is then bring in another – I will start up another petition and start to drive that forward.
Okay.
I'll have to change the subject a little bit, but that will be the game plan. So you're right. I mean, one or two spots on network news or cable news – could change the dynamics very quickly.
All right, we have to step away for a break, Stephen. And folks, we will be back in just 2 or 3 minutes here. When we do come back, I've got some questions about this process for Stephen. We'll be back right after this.
To the Kevin Smith Show, a place where you can get information that's out of this world.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Stephen Bassett, and we're talking about this petition, disclosure petition, that's on the White House website. You can go there. You can sign it. Many, many, many of you have done that. But Stephen, I said as we went to break, I have a couple of questions that I, on behalf of people who have sent me email, I want to get you to address these. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first one, and I got several emails in each of these categories. And so what I'm about, I'm not quoting an email here, I'm summarizing several emails. Okay, some people are nervous, this is the first category, some people are nervous about signing this petition or any petition on any government website. They fear that information about them is going to be gathered, they're going to be put on a list, and of course now I had one that said, I don't want to wind up on Obama's assassination list. So how would you answer that?
Well, you don't. All you give when you sign up is your first and last name. I think the zip code is even optional, right? But you do give your email address. Now, but so you don't get any information. You don't get phone number, just an email address. Now, the fact is, people's email addresses are out there. If you're doing email, your email is out there. So if the government wants your email address, they can get it. They don't have to get it from putting it on their website. So essentially, this is a concern that's probably not. I mean, for some who really don't want anything to do with government, they're not going to do that. I understand that. But the vast majority of people are not going to be concerned about putting their email address on the White House website into their server because, again, if the government wants your email, they can get it. The idea that, well, yeah, but I've signed up on a petition, so now they know that I'm supporting an issue. Yeah, but this is true. It's like there's about 100,000 signatures up there supporting the marijuana reform laws. Does that mean they're going to hassle those people? No, they're not. Are they going to hassle you if you sign a petition calling for disclosure? No. I mean, I'm in this field 24/7. I've been for 16 years. I've never been hassled by the government. And almost nobody is getting bothered at all that I'm aware of in the last 10 years and even before that. It was a selected number. It's way past that time. We're in another era. There are other petition issues up there that are also controversial. I just don't see the risk. I don't see any risk at all. But if somebody's not comfortable, they shouldn't sign. The number of people in the country that understand this is a real issue is somewhere in the range of about 150 million. So it's okay. Those that are a little too reluctant to sign, that's okay. There's still millions of people. We have enough people to put 20 million signatures on there if they knew about it, right? And they were willing to take a few minutes. So right now it's a matter of public awareness, not of the issue, but of the petition process on the White House website. I got up there immediately because I definitely wanted to get an earlier response as possible. And it's a good thing I did because about a month later, not a month later, but about 2 weeks later is when they kicked the response threshold from 5,000 to 25,000 signatures. So we're covered on that. And from here forward, we'll use it as best we can. It is a gift that they have given us to help expose this issue, to consolidate awareness, to give people a chance to put their name behind it. It's not the only thing. There's the World Disclosure Day, which we launched in January, July the 1st.
Well, we'll
stick with these questions for. But anyway, I just don't see it as much of a concern. But if someone is as concerned, it's okay. Don't sign. There's plenty of other people that can sign.
All right. Here's the second category. The second category goes like this. No one even cares anymore what the government thinks or says. They have made themselves irrelevant.
Well, I know that makes people feel good. Some people feel good, but that's not the way it works. Okay. If the government's irrelevant, then why are you paying your taxes in April? If the government is irrelevant, why do we have kids overseas fighting two wars? If the government is irrelevant, why did their lack of regulations of the financial industry cost this country trillions of dollars? If the government's irrelevant, then why are people being forced out of their homes? Because they're going into foreclosure by banks that were bailed out by public citizens. The idea that government is irrelevant is a very, very bad place to get to. It is irrelevant, but it can ruin your life in a heartbeat.
I'll tell you what, though. There are a ton. I mean, there are just almost uncountable numbers of people who have come to the point that this government, that would be this set of senators, these congressmen, mm-hmm. and this president are irrelevant. I mean, they are really out there. I got more of those emails than I did the others about being paranoid about signing the petition. they really are out there. That,
well, I mean, the people that don't like Obama think he's irrelevant. People that do disagree.
Yeah, but it's not just Obama.
People didn't like Bush. They thought he was irrelevant. His approval ratings were lower than Obama's.
But it's not just about Obama. It's the whole package.
Sure. Distrust in government is high. Or rather, you know, trust is low. Extraordinarily low. It's a real problem. There's no question about it. And a lot is going to happen for that to change. In other words, the solution to not trusting your government is not to walk away from government and I guess live in the woods or something, but to change it. So if you don't trust your government, then demand the government tell you the truth. After the government tells you the truth for a while, you'll feel better about government. You'll trust it more. If your government policies are causing you to lose your homes, what's the response? Well, I've lost my home. I guess I'll live in the woods and I'll never buy another home again. No, you better change the policies of government so they regulate the financial industry so that doesn't happen again. Look, walking away from government ain't going to work. I'm sorry. It may make people feel good to say that, but in the end, they won't walk away. You can't. It's impossible. A few can do it. They go off the grid. They live off in some rural area of North Dakota or whatever. But that's maybe one in 100,000 can do that. The rest of us are part of a 340 million peopled complex society, and we're not going to be able to walk away from the government, but we can still change it. And so saying the government is irrelevant is basically saying, I'm not going to try to fix it anymore. I don't care. I don't want to. So I won't vote. I won't protest. I won't take action. But then you will live with the consequences, because there will be consequences. You either change it. Now, some people think, no, let's wait it collapse. The government will collapse. The country will collapse. There'll be total chaos. And then out of the ashes of the chaos will become a better world, and then I'll be happy. Assuming you live through the chaos. And that better world may take 100 years to get back to where it needs to be. And so, look, I'm an advocate. So I'm an action guy. So I'm biased toward that. I understand. But I'll tell you this. The people I admire are the people sitting out there in Wall Street in 100 cities over the U.S. that are sitting now to be recognized around the world. These are the people that I admire, not the people that say government doesn't work anymore, the hell with it, and turn their back. I'm sorry. What's to admire about that? So I'm going to continue to do what I do because I believe it's the only way forward, right? In a society of 200 nations and 7 billion people.
All right, let me ask you about your trust of this government relative to this petition, and here's the question. Mm-hmm. All right, they started this. They put it on the White House website. You posted a petition, and 2 weeks later, they changed the rules of the game. Okay, now, how much trust do you have that... Let's say we wind up with 24,000 signatures. How much trust do you have that they're not going to say, oh, well, the rules are 25,000 to get a response, so you didn't make it? I know you think you're grandfathered in. How much trust do you have in grandfather?
I'm pretty confident. It was the rules on the site from the very beginning made it clear. From day one, that they could change those requirements based upon what was going on. Their concern supposedly was, well, you know, we can't have 10,000 petitions here, right, that we have to respond to. I mean, they want to try to keep it with a certain parameters. But it would not be retroactive. I mean, they said that from the beginning. And when they did raise it to 25,000, they did not make it retroactive. And if you go on the site, you will see that the disclosure petition and most of the others have cleared the threshold. So they've already got, you know, a good number of petitions that they have to respond to. Now, they overshot with 25,000. That's not a trust issue. That's a procedural mistake as far as I'm concerned. Now, as far as the response, look, we can't lose. If the administration comes back with a stupid, silly, blow-off response, you know what I'm going to do with that, Kevin? I'm going to publicize the hell out of it. Not to mention the fact that under the rules, everybody that signs the petition is going to get that silly, blow-off response. It's going to irritate thousands and thousands of people. And we'll use that, right, to point out that, you know, they don't have their act together on this. They've completely misunderstood the public's interest, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll make news out of that. If they come back with a reasoned response, right, that opens any door, even a crack on this issue, we're going to publicize the hell out of that. Right? So either way, the fact that they have agreed to formally respond to these petitions, whether they regret that now or not, we took advantage of it. And we'll see what happens. I mean, the worst that can happen is they'll just stop the program altogether, and then they'll have to answer why, right? It may be the whole thing is just to gather emails so they can send out campaign information, which I think would be a big mistake, and I doubt they'll do that. Who knows? But, hey, this is the White House. This is their website. This is the most powerful nation in the world. And we have a petition on that site calling for the government to finally acknowledge the extraterrestrial presence. It's unambiguous as it could possibly be, and 10,000 people have signed it. And I'll tell you, if the president were to go on tomorrow on a press conference and mention that they're doing this and invite people to come and review those petitions, we'd probably have 200,000 signatures. Because our petition is holding up quite well.
I think it's important for people to know, if they don't know already, it is important for them to know that you don't have to be living in the United States to go on that website and sign that petition, right?
Very interesting, yeah. They might have been able to limit it to U.S. citizens, but it would have been tricky. And so it's open to anybody. And many of the signatures for the disclosure petition are coming from around the world. Now, some might say, well, that doesn't make sense. But in fact, it does, because while not all issues necessarily affect nations outside our borders, a lot of issues do. And so...
When it comes to UFOs and when it comes to extraterrestrials, the United States has not walked so softly always, but has always carried the big stick on that. And it does affect... U.S. policy on this does affect other nations, and that's important. We have to step away for a break, and when we come back from this break, we'll continue talking with Stephen Bassett about the disclosure petition and World Disclosure Day. We shall return right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Stephen Bassett. And Stephen, we were talking about this petition and the petition process. I got a quick question for you here. Well, let's wrap up on the importance of the USA on the world scene with this issue of acknowledging extraterrestrial presence on Earth. I made the statement that the United States has not always walked so softly on this issue, but has always carried a pretty big stick on it, and that other nations respond and yield to U.S. wishes for secrecy on this. Right. Let's talk about that a little bit. Why do they do that?
It was the U.S. decision. The U.S. led the truth embargo from the beginning, because the truth embargo began in the very late 1940s, early 1950s. And that's the origin of it. And back then, we were the most powerful nation in the world, and we were the only nation that could stand up against the obvious Soviet expansionism. In other words, one war always sets the stage for the next. And World War II set the stage for World War III. Only by the late 1940s, early 1950s, the U.S. military and intelligence knew that World War III was going to be nuclear. So they had a real problem on their hands. The next war would be the last war. And only the U.S. was able to stand up at that point. So the world looked to us for many things. And I believe that when the ET issue explodes in 47, we went to our allies and said, look, this has to remain sequestered for now. We can't, until we know much more about what's happening here, what these entities want, who they are, where they're from, technology, and also study the technology we've gotten in our possession, we can't be having this out. And I think our allies went along with it without question. And then as the Cold War proceeded, it just got worse and worse and worse. And so the rationale for maintaining the truth embargo remained strong. And, of course, our position as the defender of the West against the Soviet threat was unquestioned. And so essentially the truth embargo got a 44-year run led by the United States. And then after the Cold War ends, we're still the de facto leader, but what's been happening in the last 20 years is our leadership role is being challenged, is being questioned, and we're being pressured. The country's being pressured. So that's kind of the dynamics here. And because this issue is clearly a global issue, is why, in this case, it's certainly not inappropriate that anyone around the world, any nation who can get to a computer, can go and sign this petition, because what the U.S. chooses to do on this is going to have global impact. Not all issues fit that. I mean, some issues are purely domestic, but I think it's great that it's open to all people around the world. One more reason why, God knows, the potential signature count is off the charts. I mean, if this thing gets known, who knows how the potential number of people that could sign this petition based upon their personal views is in the many, many, many tens and tens of millions.
Well, I certainly hope that being on this show tonight is going to give a boost to the number of signatures on that petition. Folks, I seriously hope you'll go to the whitehouse.gov website, go to the petition, and sign it. And all you're saying by signing it is that you want the truth embargo to end and for disclosure to take place. That's all you're saying. And I think I am right in saying this, Stephen. It doesn't ask whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an Independent or a Socialist or it doesn't ask any of that, right?
No. But let's clarify here. In order to sign it, you have to register with the site. Give them an email address. They then send you a password. And that allows you then to go and sign into the We the People section whenever you want and sign whatever petitions you want. But you have to register. You can't just sign. This is the way they keep duplicate signatures and hacking and other attempts to rig the system from taking place, which is understandable. You can't have people hacking the thing and putting up thousands of bogus signatures. So it's a registration process. I had no trouble. I had no trouble registering. I'd do it in a heartbeat, and I think most people would. So it's a question of, and it takes about a total of five. You know, once you've registered, it takes about 20 seconds to sign the petition. It takes about four or five minutes to register, but then you know you've got your password. You can come back and sign in anytime you want. And so more petitions will be put up the rest of this year and perhaps next year, and you can turn in and sign them. They're trying to create a platform for people to express their concerns. Now, it's in the early stages. It's only 25 days old now. And I assume they're going to keep this going for a long time. If they are, great. I have more petitions to put up. But the disclosure petition is the key one. And it was deliberately structured to be absolutely unambiguous. In other words, I want the signatures behind this to be absolutely unambiguous. If you think the extraterrestrial presence is real, you sign it. If you don't, you don't. And so every one of those 10,000 signatures, I think, is that much more powerful because the signature is not ambiguous. These people are saying, we know there's an ET presence, and we want it disclosed to the American people. That's what you want, something clear and straightforward.
What do you think would be the political result, the political fallout, positive or negative, If President Obama takes a look at this and he says, well, it's clearly an important issue for Americans, so, okay, I'm going to do this. And he puts an end to the truth embargo, and an announcement is made. I realize you already said that's you don't think that's going to happen. But what would be the political fallout for him if he were to do that?
You're basically asking a post-disclosure question. I believe, well, first of all, remember, he's not going to be able to do it on his own. He will have to have worked it out with the military intelligence people, the management committees that run this, and there would be a cooperative endeavor. It wouldn't necessarily take very long, and we disclose. Well, I think, first of all, he'd go down as probably the most important president in history, one of the most important leaders of any nation or state in all of history. It would be a legacy unparalleled that I can think of. Pick anything, Constantine, Mao Zedong, Alexander, you name it. This disclosure is the most profound event in human history in terms of how much implication it has for how many people. Nothing like it comes close. So the political fallout is that he would be an international historical icon. Now, what happens on election day? Who knows? I mean, things are so screwed up right now that it's hard to predict what the American people will do. But I believe that the prestige of being the leader that finally ends this embargo and brings this massively important truth to the American people, which is the only way you're going to resolve the trust issues that are out there. Trust is going to be the currency of the 21st century, not gold, not silver, not diamonds. Trust. Trust is going to be the currency. If you've got it, you can do a lot, and if you don't, you can't do squat. I think he would be elected overwhelmingly. But, you know, that's my opinion.
Well, I think it would certainly shake the foundations of a lot of the secret keepers in other governments. Do you think the other governments that have been keeping a lid on this because we asked them to, do you think they're ready for it?
They'll follow suit immediately, within days, one after another. Bing, 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 bing. Are they ready?
Yeah.
You know, were we ready for the First World War, the Second World War, the Cold War? Financial collapses, you know, things happen. This has a lot more promise to it than most of the calamities of the last 100 years, which happened to us, whether we were ready or not. So it's not a matter of being ready. It's a matter of, can we deal with it? Absolutely.
All right. We're going to deal with this break, and we shall return, ladies and gentlemen, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted you are here. And we're going to continue talking with our guest, Stephen Bassett. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you from that first hour. We have been talking about this petition on the White House website, a petition for disclosure about extraterrestrial presence. And that's what we've been pretty focused on. We're going to move from that over to the World Disclosure Day project that Paradigm Research Group has going. Paradigm Research Group is an advocacy group headed by Stephen Bassett. And as he said, its entire focus is to bring about to assist in bringing about the disclosure of extraterrestrial presence on this earth. And so they're very busy. They've got this petition at the White House website going. And they need you to go over to whitehouse.gov and sign the petition. All right? So it doesn't matter where you are in the world. You can go to whitehouse.gov, sign the petition, and fill the coffers, if you will, with signatures this time. Right now there are just over 10,000 signatures on the petition, and it really would not hurt if we could hit over a million. So it wouldn't hurt at all. And according to what Stephen has told us, there's going to be a formal response to this petition already, but man, if you could get a couple of million signatures on there, think what that would do. And it doesn't cost you anything to go over there and electronically sign the petition. So please do that. Stephen, I want to talk about the world. World Disclosure Day? Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is something that you have envisioned being and becoming something like Earth Day. So talk to us about this a little bit.
It's really kind of nice. I made the effort to try to launch a World Disclosure Day on July the 1st. There had been an effort prior to that, in fact, last year. I think the date selected was August the 2nd. The date I've selected is July the 8th. It didn't quite take. No criticism implied. I mean, Earth Day, I think, had three previous attempts to get launched before it finally was established. So we launched it on July the 1st. July the 8th is the designated day. That date was chosen because it was July the 8th, 1947, when Roger Ramey changed the story about Roswell from a crash disk to a weather balloon. And in a sense, the truth embargo began. So that got off and going and did some press releases and used the social media, created the website, worlddisclosureday.org. And now we're approaching 5,000 endorsements on that. And these endorsements are basically like their signatures, essentially. We're talking first name, last name, city, state, or city and nation. And so it's a strong signature matrix. And the White House petition thing just followed that. I mean, it just 2 months later, that just comes out. And so it was a perfect follow-up. And so it's allowing me to promote both at the same time, which is kind of cool. The White House petition, by the way, only posts the first name and last initial. So it's a little bit softer. And that's fine. But on World Disclosure Day, you endorse with first and last name. We also have a section for notable endorsements. And as those come in, we will be filling that up as well. So the idea is to get enough attention to World Disclosure Day that it starts to build up an even larger number of endorsements. And we get up to about 100,000, I think. We'll have enough, I think, substance to make World Disclosure Day a meaningful day. And, of course, the next opportunity will be July the 8th, 2012. But there's another reason I'm doing this, is to get the concept out there. Because at some point disclosure will happen. And what day that will be, we don't know. It could be July the 20th, or it could be June 10, whatever. But when that day comes, World Disclosure Day will immediately switch to that day. In other words, it won't be July the 8th anymore. It'll be the day disclosure happened. And from that point forward, that will be World Disclosure Day, and that will be a very big day in the calendar year for all humans in all nations. So I'm just kind of setting the stage for that, but in the meantime, it's another way to focus attention and to show support. So these endorsements, as the number grows, is another place that I can direct the media to point out that, this is a serious matter. There's plenty of people that are pursuing it, and there's plenty of people behind it, so pay attention. So we have two referendums. Or two referenda going on right now. Disclosure, World Disclosure Day, worlddisclosureday.org. and then the White House disclosure petition at whitehouse.gov, and the information site behind that is disclosurepetition.info. And that's great. I mean, that's grassroots advocacy, and it's a lot of fun, too.
We hear that the Obama administration has people in it that are very pro-disclosure. We heard that before he was elected. We heard that after he's elected. We're still hearing it. Now, let me ask you this. If what would happen if either this president or a future president makes disclosure and he's got enemies, political enemies, that are also in very powerful positions that maneuver the press into saying the president has lost his mind, is incapable to govern, and so forth. Now, here's why I ask that. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
The reason I ask that is because this administration was elected saying they are going to be the most transparent administration in history.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't quite made that.
No.
But that's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after they took office, Robert Gibbs is the president's press secretary at that point. He's on CNN, no, C-SPAN, one morning, and one of the listeners from this show called, not representing this show, representing himself,
right,
called C-SPAN and asked the question. Now, at this particular time, you had, it was either the Million Letter Campaign or the Million Facts Campaign going.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, please take this seriously. You guys said you were going to be the most transparent. I know you've gotten thousands of letters or faxes, whichever it was, saying that we want disclosure on UFOs. When are you going to be transparent about that? Well, Gibbs was on national television live when this was asked, and so he had to respond. And he did respond, but you could see a little bit of a smirk on his face as he tried to sidestep that issue. And he did not acknowledge that they had gotten these thousands of requests for disclosure.
Mm.
Okay, now, with all of us sitting out here knowing they got that, knowing they had thousands of requests for disclosure, and then watching that, that engenders the question, what happens if a president goes public and his underlings join the forces of those that don't want it public and say he's lost his mind?
Well, first of all, that question was asked by PRG supporter Ryan. I think he's out of
Washington. That's correct. That is correct.
You can actually see that question. Just Google, I mean, YouTube search Robert Gibbs UFO, and you can see the question. First of all, understand, when Obama said, you know, you want to have open, transparent government, that did not include national security secrets, right? Top secret and above top secret classified material. Everybody sort of knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they haven't done that. And the fact is, the extraterrestrial issue is still stream classified material, right? It's not just a truth embargo. It's also, the truth embargo is about preventing the public from reaching some sort of critical mass, and the media reaching some sort of critical mass, forcing an acknowledgement. That's the truth embargo. Behind that is what the government knows about this phenomenon, and that, of course, is deeply classified. So I had no illusions that this was going to be brought forward by the administration based on transparent government. Secondly, the Obama administration walked into a mess, and frankly, I think their whole platform was thrown up in the air on the day they arrived. And Republicans knew what
well,
they were
yeah,
doing.
But let's forget that. Let's talk about the future, the
right,
day
right.
of disclosure. What happens if those who don't want disclosure in the government decide they're going to torpedo the president.
It won't happen, and here's why. Disclosure will not take place. It's almost inconceivable that the president would unilaterally try to disclose this subject without an agreement and understanding with the military intelligence community. I just can't imagine that. So it will happen only because the president's people, and I don't mean they're going to meet for lunch down at the Milano Cafe. I mean they're going to have some deep discussions about moving forward, and it'll be a green light from the military intelligence community. They may ask for certain conditions. Who knows? So when the president steps out in front of the microphone, he will have the military intelligence community already on board, which means that whatever, quote, proof, short of divulging serious national security information, is needed to drive the point home, he'll have it. More importantly, other nations will follow suit very quickly. And so if there's some people in the government that think they want to use this to sort of undermine the president, they won't have a snowball's chance.
All right, I want to open up the telephone lines for our audience to participate. And ladies and gentlemen, the phone lines are open. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Does not matter whether you're calling from east of the Rockies or west of the Rockies. That's the number. All right. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, then we have an additional option for you because we know it can be expensive to make international calls. So if you are outside of the USA and you are outside of Canada, you can call that number or you can go to my website. At my website, scroll down. You will see the link about tonight's show. I'm sorry, the picture about tonight's show. And right above that is the link that says Flash Message. And you can use that option to participate in the show tonight. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Mr. Kevin Smith and Mr. Bassett. This is Jeff from Montreal, Canada.
Hello, Jeff.
How are you this evening, folks?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, Stephen?
Just fine. What's on your mind?
I must confess I'm a bit more cynical, perhaps, and jaded than Kevin is, although he is a young man. I just wanted to sort of address a few points that you've raised here, Mr. Bassett, in sort of quick-fire, rapid succession, if you could, and perhaps you could respond. With regard to government being irrelevant, I take issue with your position in the sense that 9/11 eclipsed the Disclosure Project quite quickly. It was the most highly watched internet video ever, and 9/11 quickly eclipsed that. Second point, this country has turned into a police state. The ranks of the unemployed keep swelling daily, and until we restore liberty to our republic, disclosure ranks, in my opinion, very low on my priority list, as much as I am enthusiastic about the possibilities of what disclosure could bring to society. We have a constitution which the government has chosen to ignore. The government is not government as you paint it, Stephen. It's a corporatocracy run by the military-industrial complex. And I say this, that cooperating with the government or seeking its cooperation is akin to asking the wolf to protect the three little pigs. If anyone thinks that the government is for the people, by the people, they need to stop drinking the Kool-Aid. Obama, Mr. Bassett, will have no more stake in disclosure than you or I, and has probably no more power than you or I to even begin to move those cogs in the wheel forward to make that happen. I think it's foolhardy for Americans. I think it's actually an insult to Americans' intelligence to think that the government needs our opinion. They know full well what the America is thinking about right now, and I think what's on the top of their agenda is probably restoring the republic. But maybe perhaps down in the number 10 position would be disclosure. But I highly doubt that Obama has any power whatsoever. I think it's probably men that think that we're very irrelevant.
Okay. All right. Okay. We get the picture. Let's get his response to that.
And I don't think we're ready for disclosure at all, not by a long shot.
Okay, Stephen?
I'm not unsympathetic with this individual, Jeff's cynicism about government right now. I don't think it's quite as bad as he says, but it's not good. And it's going to take a good while to fix it. And maybe it's not fixable. That said, what are our choices? We do nothing, and it'll go where it goes, and we will always be on the, how would you say, the butt end of its actions. In other words, we'll always be the victim of its actions as opposed to a proactive, a part of a proactive effort to alter the state, or we get in there and we do something. Now, I would make the case, and this is a pretty interesting point and one of the key points of this activist movement. I would make the case of all of the, quote, activist threads that currently exist in the United States today, let's keep it in the United States, the one with the most promise to dramatically shake up the current paradigm and thus, you know, like an etch-a-sketch where you shake it and the previous drawing is disturbed and you have to sort of redraw it, the disclosure event is number one, that nothing else comes close. There has been, for instance, in the last 30 years, a quote, secrecy reform movement. And I'm glad there's a secrecy reform movement. It is virtually, you can't even find it. It's barely room temperature. It's there, but it's not going anywhere. There have been a few efforts by a few politicians to touch on it, but nothing. In terms of major reform of the political parties, we're not going anywhere yet. We have major problems. It's going to require significant effort. It could take decades and decades. It could take a constitutional convention. But
UFO
we don't have
disclosure,
that kind
Mr.
of
Bassett, in my opinion, would make government irrelevant, period. And I'd like to end it at that, and I want to thank you for your response, and thank you, Kevin, for a great show again, as usual.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Well, I'm not done with my response.
Yeah, go ahead.
The issue now is we don't have enough time. Do we have 20, 30, 40 years to sort of work through the governmental dysfunctions that have grown since the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution 64? No. We're sitting on a whole batch of tipping points. We've created a world that's extremely dangerous in a way that it wasn't even during the Cold War. We have managed to create a world where now we have 7 billion people. When the Cold War started, there was about 3. Everybody's heavily armed. The ability to obtain explosives, even bioweapons, is very difficult to manage. Even nuclear materials and nuclear weapons are not being fully managed. And so at any time, we could have an extremely bad thing happen that could then take us off into decades of really god-awful developments. And so we don't have time to go through 40 years of, quote, working out our problems. We've got to have some dramatic change and fast. And I would make the case that disclosure is absolutely the most powerful lever we have to open up and pry open the vaults of both the secret empire and also to galvanize people by the hundreds of millions around the world for reform. Because it will lay open the biggest misrepresentation and propaganda program of all time to everybody all at once. In other words, it's a big key, and if you've got a big door you've got to unlock, you need a really big key to do it. And so I would make exactly the opposite case. Disclosure should be number one on the priority list. And the reason it's not, the reason that it's not on the lips of anybody occupying any city in America today, is the truth embargo itself. The terrible thing about the truth embargo is that when something like that is successful, it itself generates its own protection. In other words, by misrepresenting and propagandizing the issue, by denying it, you prevent people from being able to galvanize an opposition to it. In other words, if something is secret, then what's your problem? It doesn't exist, so what are you complaining about? So it virtually self-protects itself. That allows it to perpetuate itself long beyond the point that it is just a problem to the point where it becomes a major issue. And that's why secrecy is so dangerous. In other words, if you're going to screw up, do it in the open. At least we can see what's going on, and maybe we can correct it. But if you create vast secret empires, nobody even knows when you screw up. So somebody's working on some bio program in a lab somewhere underneath New Mexico, and it might be underway for 15 years. Nobody even knows it's there. And then one day, the damn thing escapes, and the next thing you know, you got a plague all over the West, and it's killed 10, 20 million people. You cannot operate a nation based upon massive secrecy. Disclosure is the door to the secret world, the secret empire. And it's the one issue that has the most support around the world amongst any other issue out there. It is highly profound, it is very emotional, and very galvanizing. And if it wasn't for the truth embargo, we'd have 200-300 million people lined up behind it now. But the role of the advocacy movement and the disclosure process is to change that. And every year, millions more people come to understand the truth of the ET reality, and whether or not they take action is a second point. But the awareness level grows every year, and the number of people willing to act is growing. And so ultimately, we win. The question is, do we get this in time? And so I just respectfully disagree with Jeff. But I understand why he feels that way, and I also understand, given the truth embargo, why it's very difficult for very smart people to put this in the proper perspective. I'm able to do it. I've been spending 16 years at this. You know, I've got two PhDs in exopolitics, in a sense, you know, in the School of Hard Knocks. The average person, they don't have the knowledge base to try to understand this. And the government, of course, denies them, and the media denies them, access to the kind of information that would really give them an informed decision. Well, that's just the way it is. That's the rules of the game. That's the cards that have been dealt. So we have to do the best we can. But you do media, you do activism, you create petitions, you create World Disclosure Day, you launch ballot initiatives in New York and in Denver, you take polls, you write books, you get on media every chance you get, and you speak truth to power. That's the best we can do. The only thing, and in fact, we're doing that, and probably the number one thing is that keeps it from probably igniting this issue very quickly, is that we're doing it with virtually no money at all.
All right. We have to step away for a break. Let me ask the caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Sure, Kevin.
All right. You hang in there. We'll take you first up when we come back from the break. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking this evening with Stephen Bassett. And as you can tell, he is very knowledgeable and very passionate about disclosure. We'll be back right after this break.
And you are smart because you are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Stephen Bassett. And Stephen is talking with us about this whole notion of, this whole idea of disclosure of ET presence, ET reality here on Earth. And in addition to that, talking to us about some of the projects that he's got going to help bring that about. Now, we have a caller on the line, and I want to take that call. So, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi there, Kevin. This is your friend Eli from Portland, Maine.
Hello, Eli.
Hi there. Stephen, I have a question for you. And I was wondering, If the government, if a government committee was formed, and they came to you and said, "All right, Mr. Bassett, you have been involved in this process for a good long time. We're gonna come out. We're gonna make this disclosure, but we want to do it in a way that's gonna be positive for our people, positive for the government, positive for the economy, and not disruptive." If it was up to Stephen Bassett, what would that look like? And I'll take your answer off the air. Thanks very much.
All right, thanks for the call.
Oh, goodness. First of all, that's never going to happen. I'd be one of the last people they would come and talk to. But that's a very good question. Well, you know, the ideal world versus the real world. If I was advising President Obama, I would put it this way, that the last 100 years has seen an extraordinary amount of bad behavior on the part of human beings and nations, and the squandering of untold trillions of dollars, literally squandered, thrown away, burned. Not 10, 15, 20, 30 trillion, 40 trillion, vast sums of money. While the human race's population increased from 1900 around 1.5 billion to 100 years later, 7 billion people. And this century is going to be a catastrophe if we don't grow up as a species, and we're running out of time. Trust in government is at historic lows, and if they don't turn that around, you're not going to be able to get anything done in this country, and that's true for Europe. Obviously, there's not a lot of trust in government in China, but it's on politics, though. In economy, they do trust the government, and they're having great success. But in any event, there's a limited amount of time to turn things around. And it's absolutely imperative that this embargo end. It's an affront to natural law. It is, every day that it goes on, it becomes more damaging. It's no different from the Catholic Church trying to deny the truth of the solar system from its flock because it was dogmatically inconvenient. Of course, that church was a huge embarrassment for the church for the next 300 years, and they finally apologized for it. And he now owns this embargo. He has an opportunity to make one of the most important decisions and trigger the most important event in human history. More importantly, if you're going to get in the truth business, you better get in the truth business. Release the fundamental information and start an information flow process, orderly, constructive, with the American people and the world's people. Don't make the press and the people beat on your door day after day after day demanding this information and that information. Start a proactive process of bringing the information forward. Engage the people to a very great extent. So that you're getting input from the people on this subject. They're going to have huge numbers of questions and concerns. Don't be elitist. And any attempt by any part of the government to manipulate this issue for their own either organizational or personal gain should be absolutely squashed immediately. That means firing people, you fire them. If it means outing members of Congress, you out them. But this event has the potential to so dramatically change the course of this planet that it's just almost impossible to describe it. It will take many, many books. And somebody's got to start it. And because it's such a profound event, it is all the more important that it be done as ethically as possible. In other words, you know, there's your little lies, and then there's your white lies, and then your damn lies, but there are some things you just don't screw around with, and this is one of them. And so it needs to be the truth. It needs to be orderly and proactive. It needs to go somewhere. It needs to be obviously shared with the rest of the world. There needs to be cooperation between the United States and other nations as they come forward with their confirmations. Because the most important thing I think to remember is that unlike anything that's ever happened before in history, you will have more people looking in the same direction at the same time than ever before. Nothing comes close. Now, what do I mean by that? That means that something happens, and it's so profound that it draws the attention not just of a few people, not just of a billion people, but of billions of people, and they all turn to look at it at once. Right? And so you've got billions of pairs of eyes all looking in the same direction. This rarely happens. And when you've got that many eyes looking at something, it's absolutely imperative that you are extremely thoughtful about what you do and how you go about it, because everybody is going to see what happens next. And if the idea that you're going to play propaganda games and play truth embargo games with 3 billion people looking at you, and this includes the media, right, which will all jump over to the people's side right away. As this story finally opens, they will just go nuts, and they're not going to be playing any government games, not with this. And so it's incredibly important that everything you do be done above board, as open as possible, and as constructively as possible. I mean, this is the best advice I could give. I mean, you can get into the details of exactly how to go about it and all that, but this is so large that Machiavellian nonsense and ego and arrogance, particularly male arrogance, all of these things are nothing. They should be put aside. Party differences, my God, utterly ridiculously unimportant, put aside. This is big time stuff. And you don't get many opportunities to participate in something like this. And the implications of it going well are enormous. The implications of it going badly are also very great. And so that's what you have. And it's just, when the music stopped, he was the guy that got the last chair. I mean, it was just luck. But it's also, the same thing applies to Hu Jintao. The same thing applies to Sarkozy and Cameron, to Putin and Medvedev, and the president of Brazil. Or any one of these nations could disclose tomorrow. So if the United States wishes to be a leader in the 21st century, it had better damn well make up its mind whether it's going to be the disclosure nation or it's going to give that to someone else out of either incompetence or intransigence or just ignorance. But some nation is going to end this embargo, and the only question now is which one.
All right, let's go to the telephone, and then I have a flash message after this call that sort of addresses what you've just addressed. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Rick in California.
Hi, Rick.
Yeah, you know, I've been listening to this show, and I think that this Stephen Bassett is quite delusional. Obama doesn't know anything about what's going on. All of this kind of stuff is so far above his head. Another thing is, so there is a disclosure. The ETs or whatever are not supposed to intervene with what's going on. So what's disclosure going to do? You know, people are going to be running for their lives, helter skelter, just like in that movie When Mars Attacks. Are they going to be acting really wacky like in that movie Contact? I mean, I just don't see, what are the ET or disclosure going to do? Are they going to come down and grow our food for us and everybody's going to be walking around in big daisy fields? I just don't get it, Stephen. I think you're quite delusional. And I really agree with the first caller about how really the government is irrelevant. They do what they want. And you say, oh, well, you know, they have people going to war and they're taking their homes and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? They're only doing that because the government forces them to with the police state. And there's, you know, I don't know. That's all I really wanted to voice my opinion on, Stephen. So if you have any comments on that, you know, I'll take them off the air. And, Kevin, it's a great show tonight. And I think this petition thing that you've got going, Stephen, is a waste of everybody's time. And I wouldn't give my information. Well, the government can get whatever information they want anywhere. So I just think you're wasting your time. So anyway, thanks,
okay.
Kevin. Great show.
All right, thanks. Okay, Well, there's someone that sounds like they're he's strongly against what's happening. Give a response to that. Make it kind of short because we need to get to the next call.
Yeah, it's really not much to say. It's his opinion. Mm-hmm. It's the way he feels. I disagree with everything that he said virtually. So he just has a different worldview than I have.
Okay.
And, you know, but his worldview reflects the fact that when people get irritated enough, when they get angry enough, there's two ways you go. One is you get active and you challenge. And the other is if you withdraw and say, the hell with it. Both of them are normal human reactions. And I would say the majority of people tend to go that way. They tend to pull out. A minority tend to go active. Fortunately, it only takes a modest minority of people to go active to create dramatic social and political change, which is one of the nice things about the way societies work. And so it's okay. We don't need everybody on board.
Okay.
We can succeed.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin. Stephen, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Oh. Stephen, yeah, I went over to that government website and I was still able to register, you know, a vote for your cause there for the UFO disclosure.
Thank you.
But let's say we get all those signatures and it looks like they were already reached. What's the next step?
Well, there's two things that are going to happen. One, at some point, and I don't know when, the administration will respond to this petition. And I'll work with that, right? More than prepared to do that. So that's going to happen. Now, what that response is, don't know, but whatever it is, we'll work with it. Could it be dramatic? It's possible. They could open a door. They could surprise us. We'll see. The second thing that's going to go on is we're going to keep getting more signatures. We're closing in on the Stop Animal Homelessness at Its Roots petition, which is the next one up, right? We're only about 340 behind that. After that, I got my sights on Give States the Freedom to Establish Their Own Marijuana Laws, one of 13 marijuana petitions. But keep driving the signature count up because the media is paying attention. In fact, again, and the media is going to be paying more attention as this thing gets a little better known. It hasn't had that much publicity. You can see the publicity by Googling, do a news Google search on White House petition. And you will see there have been some articles, but not the television. The television has stayed away from it. It's only a matter of time before the television is going to jump in on this if they keep this thing going. And if
all right,
they take it.
Stephen, we have to take a break. And Rusty, do you want to hang on through the break?
Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall return right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Stephen Bassett. We only have a few minutes left in the show. Stephen, I want to give you the opportunity to finish your thought there for Rusty.
I think I did. I think I covered it.
Okay. Rusty, does that take care of it for you?
Well, I wanted to, just one kind of question, then I'll take it off the air. Is you think once if you get this disclosure from these signatures, do you think there's a possibility, and it's been presented on this show by some other guests, that they might use this disclosure to start a war or something of that nature, whether it be alien or, you know, a war with Iran or whoever, that, you know, the disclosure is going to have on the other side of it a, you know, a bad effect?
Okay. Rusty, thanks for the call.
I do not expect the government, if they disclose, to play games with it. I think there'd be those inside government to be tempted to, but I think they're outnumbered. I think the vast majority of people in military intelligence are good people. I mean, I hate to disappoint those who feel the otherwise, but and so I think there are people that might try to manipulate this, but I think they'll be outnumbered. I think they'll be talked down. This is just too big to mess around with. So that's my feeling now. But it's also the case that thanks to the movement, thanks to the internet, thanks to the vast public awareness on this subject, if they try to do it, they better be real good at it, because there's going to be an awful lot of people paying real close attention, and this will not be easy to screw with. And if they do and they get caught, the implications for the United States are just incalculable. So I think that cooler heads will prevail here, but I think we should be on the alert.
Absolutely. All right, we've got a flash message from the UK. Mm-hmm. This flash message is from Ross. He says, "Hi, Kevin and Stephen. I don't see any government disclosing unless they're forced to, or doing so aids them in gathering more power over us. I have signed the petition, and I'd like to be proved wrong, but I just don't see anything happening with this. It's going to take more than a petition for the corrupt government and its shadow masters to admit anything approaching the truth." Well, but yeah, that's basically what you said at the beginning, is that you don't expect this will cause disclosure.
It's just one more thing. Remember, this is a cumulative process. We'll keep adding weight to the right side of the scale, the disclosure side, until it tips the scale in our favor. This is not the only thing going on. There's stuff happening all over the world regarding disclosure right now. Exopolitics groups are forming, conferences are being held, witnesses are coming forward, other governments are taking action. This is just one more thing. But what's important about this thing is that everybody can play, right? Anybody can sign. We can build that number as big as we want. So here's a chance to stand up and say, all right, this is why I want the truth, right? And I'm willing to have my first name and last initial plastered up on the White House website for all to see. So that's it. I mean, people are anxious and they're frustrated and they're tired of waiting, and I understand that. But that's true of every social political movement in history, whether it was the right to vote for women or civil rights, gay rights, you name it. I mean, it never comes soon enough, but it comes when it comes, and it always comes because enough people stay with it and stick with it and keep the pressure on the government until the government relents. Now, thing we have yet to be able to succeed at is war. We have not been able to get our country out of the war business, and this is a big one, and a very tough one. The peace movement in the United States has not been particularly effective at all, and that's a long, long discussion. I would say that we have a better chance of disclosure than we have of a peace movement succeeding. However, once disclosure takes place, I believe the door opens for the peace movement to really get going, and we could well see a global movement along the lines of Occupy Wall Street or Occupy to say, look, we want all nations out of the war business. We're not going to participate. We're not going to fund them. We're not going to fight them. We're not going to pull the triggers for you. We're going out of the business because it's 10,000 years of this. It doesn't accomplish a damn thing. All it's done is set us back. I think disclosure could open the door to that. It could open the door to a lot of things.
All right. So, I've got one more flash message I need to read. This one is from Mace in the UK. Is it possible that in reality some other nation is exerting pressure on the USA to keep UFO ET info quiet?
I see just the opposite. They're putting pressure on the US to disclose. It is possible that a nation could be wanting it otherwise, maybe Russia. But again, they're outnumbered. I mean, again, the situation is so prime now. Any one of 12 nations could do it. How do you keep 12 nations under wraps? It's just like the Catholic Church. They said, we're just going to tell everybody that the Earth is the center of the universe and the sun goes around the Earth or whatever, and we'll just keep telling that and they'll just keep believing it. It never had a chance. It was hopeless. But given the fact that it was back then, it went on for quite a while. This isn't then. The fact that they've pulled off this truth embargo for 64 years is amazing. It's astounding. And unless somebody nukes a city or something, it's going to be over pretty soon. And so I'm telling people not just to sign petitions, but to get ready. Get ready, all right? You know, the world's not going to end next year. There's not going to be giant tidal waves. We're not going to hit by a comet. I don't know what the Mayans were up to, but the world's not going to end next year. But we could have disclosure next year. So if you want to get ready for something, get ready for that, because that is a very realistic possibility.
You seriously, realistically think we're that close?
Oh, God, yes. We've been on a pretty much a any-time-it-could-happen mode since 2000. Theoretically, it could have happened any time after the Cold War ended, but there were reasons why it didn't. But since 2000, oh, Lord, it's any day. I mean, tomorrow a former Secretary of Defense of the United States could give a press conference and say, look, I've decided that I want to speak to this and just say, look, there's an ET presence. I knew about it when I served, blah, blah, blah. That triggers a media stampede. They start, pounding questions into the government at about 10 different places at once, and that's the ballgame. I mean, it's just spring-loaded, right? I'm not worried about it happening eventually, but what I'm worried about is that there's any number of things that could happen before disclosure, which is why this movement must continue, why it needs to be funded, why it needs to succeed as soon as possible. Because if somebody launches a bio attack or somebody blows up a major city with a tactical nuke, God knows where we're going to go after that. And disclosure will get pushed off to the side, and we'll all go down the insanity road for years and years and years. I mean, this is the way the world is now. We saw what could happen when we had a 911 type event, all right? We saw how that played out.
Yeah.
Now imagine something 1,000 times worse, and that could happen tomorrow too. And so again, we've got to get over the river and into the new paradigm, so that we're in a new world with new kinds of thinking. Otherwise, whatever happens, we're going to react to it with the old thinking, and the old thinking goes back 10,000 years. And that thinking is this: if something happens, you don't like it, kill somebody, blow something up, invade somebody, destroy something. That is the 10,000-year history of the human race. That we've made it this far is an astounding thing and testimony to our creativity and the power of our minds. But overall, it's been 10,000 years of endless war, destruction, and other vicious crimes on the part of people and nations.
Okay, Steve, I wish we had more time. We don't. We are literally out of time. We're right at the end of the show here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, remember a couple of things. Go sign the petition. And then also remember, if you're within travel distance of the of Los Angeles, come out and be a part of the Alchemy event 2011. I want to see you there. I want to meet you there. All right. Go to alchemyevent.com for the info and registration. Steve, stay on the line with me for just a moment as we land. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steeli. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.